on anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. All of Psalm 27. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have of being able to come to you in prayer daily. Thank you for the privilege of being able to open your word and hear from you, hear from heaven daily as well. Thank you for the grace, peace, and power that pours into our life as we spend time with you in prayer and in the word daily. And thank you for how that you equip us and prepare us to become and to be the kingdom warriors you've called us to be. Father, thank you for the opportunity we as your church have of being able to minister in our local communities, in the state we live in, our nation, and in the world. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to, by your grace and mercy, reach out and share and support ministries and churches throughout the world that may be going through a different set of challenges and difficulties. But help us to know, Lord, that we're one church and one body, and you call us to love each other, support each other, and pray much for each other. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Mark Ose is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Dear Lord God, I thank you for this platform that you have given us, and I thank you for the anointing you have placed on Pastor Joseph and the calling that you've given him to share your truth and your word on the air. And I pray, Lord God, again, that it would be a blessing to many people who hear this broadcast today and this podcast at later dates. And I thank you also for our guest, Mr. Johnson, and pray that he would be a blessing as well. I know that he will be a blessing to us here in the studio, and I pray you would be a blessing to him as well. This experience would be a blessing to him as well. And God, we just thank you and praise you. I ask your blessing on the technical aspects again of this recording, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're very blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Michael Johnson. He's the president of the Slavic Gospel Association. We've had the privilege of having Michael on in the past, but it's been a while, so we're grateful to have him back again. Michael, how are you today?
No, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you very much.
Great to have you to come back, and we appreciate you. And as we start, I'm going to ask if you'll start off by telling us a little bit more about yourself, and then tell us about the work and the mission and the calling on the Slavic Gospel Association.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I grew up in Connecticut, and when I was 19 years old, I jumped in a car with some friends of mine, and we drove out to California. And that was back in the early 1970s. And at the time, the Jesus movement in Southern California had started, I guess, back in the late 60s, and it was sort of on the tail end of that. I met some Christians when I was there, one of whom was a man named Danny Murphy. I was working in a gas station. That was the only job I could find, and he was the mechanic. And we were sitting talking one day, and I asked him what he was doing that evening. He said, well, he and his wife had choir practice. And I said, well, why? He said, well, we go to church every Sunday. I said, why? He said, well, we're Christians. And I thought, you know, I grew up in the Congregational Church. I was confirmed in the Congregational Church. And I just simply said to him, well, so am I. And he looked at me with a smile on his face. He said, no, you're not. So he said, I'm going to buy you breakfast tomorrow morning. So come to this pancake house in Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. And we'll get together. And so I showed up, and I'll buy you breakfast. So it was a meeting of CBMC, Christian Businessmen's Committee. And I heard the gospel for the first time by the Bible teacher. His name was Tom Brewer. And I just, the Lord worked in my heart, and I was just compelled, and I just kept going back every week. I eventually began to attend church in the Pacific Palisades, and I came to faith in Christ. And so I knew I needed some Bible teaching, and there was a guy named Hal Lindsey who had wrote a book called The Late Great Planet Earth. He had started a Bible school in Westwood, California, called the Jesus Christ Light and Powerhouse, and there was a number of guys there who also, you know, were connected to him through Dallas Seminary. Mm-hmm. But I spent a couple of years there, got grounded in the Word, and then she got out, got a job. I met my wife, and she had been an advertising executive, and I got interested in that field, so I moved from California to New York City. So I was an advertising executive in New York City. I ran the, you know, a lot of consumer brands like Tylenol pain medication, Tide detergent, and a lot of large consumer products. Mm-hmm. And it was really quite successful. So we ended up moving to Brooklyn, and we attended an EV Free church in Brooklyn. And we took a short-term missions trip to the country of Albania. And God began to open my eyes to what he was doing in that part of the world after the wall had come down. And it really stuck with me. But, you know, life went on. I continued on with my career, and one thing led to another. And a man named Bob Provost, who was the president of this ministry, came and spoke at our church. And he and I began to fellowship with one another, and he asked if one day that he said to me, he said, listen, Michael, he said, you know, a lot of really good skills. When you stop wasting your life in the advertising business, come to work and come to work for me, because we have a great story to tell about what God is doing through his faithful churches that were persecuted for many years in the former Soviet Union. And mm-hmm. we need a professional like you to help tell that story to the churches and the Christians here in America so that they can understand the deep faith and the deep commitment to the gospel that those Christians have over there. Mm-hmm. So how could I not respond to that? So so I came to work here initially as a vice president, and I was here for about 8 years, and the Lord took me in another direction. And then 8 years ago, from this point, they brought me back as the president, and I have the privilege of serving as the president here. Mm-hmm. And again, I still have a passion to tell their story about how Christ is building his church in those countries.
Mm. You know, that's quite a whirlwind testimony, yeah. Michael. I really appreciate you sharing your journey in that, because every believer needs to grow in their relationship with Christ, learn to listen to him for His specific calling on their lives and walk that path, because every calling is extremely important in the kingdom of God, whether people perceive that or not. So thank you for sharing just your journey. Would you pray now for our listeners? Pray for just the Spirit of God to do in the heart of every listener what He desires to do, in that there are probably many who the Lord is going to call them to become prayer warriors, praying for the Slavic Gospel Association, others to maybe to be prayer warriors and financial contributors as well. But there may be others that God is calling to do similar work in other places. So would you pray for them to have ears to hear whatever the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
I will. Thank you, Lord, again, for the opportunity to be able to share with the listening audience here. And we pray for each and every person who is listening. I know that the Lord is working in the hearts of each and every person that is being exposed to this message and this program, and we really thank you for that. And like for me, the way the Lord led me in my life at a time in my life when I thought I had everything figured out, He recognized a desire in my heart to serve Him, and He opened up opportunities for me to do so. So whether it's from a vocational standpoint or whether it's an opportunity that you have in your local churches to serve the Lord, whether it's an opportunity to use your own individual skills and gifts that God has given to you, we know that God has a plan for each and every person here to be able to serve Him with a tremendous passion and with the skills and the passions that the people have to do so. So we pray, Father, the Spirit of God will work on the hearts of the people who are listening and draw them to you, to a deeper relationship with you, and open up opportunities for them to serve you in a much deeper way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I too thank you for every person that's listening. And thank you, Lord, for the great work that you're doing through the Slavic Gospel Association. And I pray that many who are listening will be able to get a much better picture of the work and the mission of this ministry and connect them to this ministry in the ways you'd have them to be connected to it, as in being prayer partners, financial supporters, or any and everything else that you're calling them to. There may be some who you're going to call them to come and be a part of this ministry or maybe go on a mission trip with them, but help every listener. We ask that you'll do a perfect work in the heart of every listener. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, Michael, again, really appreciate, as I said, you sharing your journey about how the Lord led you to where you're working with the Slavic Gospel Association as the president right now. Would you define for our listeners the word Slavic? What does the word Slavic mean, and what nations does that include?
Well, it's a people group that that most people associate Slavic people with the countries of the former Soviet Union, and that would be Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, and there are significant Slavic populations that populate a number of the stand countries as well, like Tajikistan and Turkmenistan and places like that. So it's typically associated, and as well as Eastern Europe. So so it's typically associated with that particular part of the world.
So it's really a huge part of Europe then that would be included, right?
Yes.
Would that be correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. And so do you work in, does the Slavic Gospel Association, we're coming up on a break. We'll pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Michael Johnson. He's the president of the Slavic Gospel Association. We'll be right back.
The Lamb who was slain, holy,
music of Phillips, Craig, and Dean with Revelation Song. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Michael Johnson. He's the president of the Slavic Gospel Association. And I want to challenge and encourage all of our listeners to really pay a lot of attention to that which the Holy Spirit's saying through the broadcast today, and really commit to praying for the Slavic Gospel Association as well as the countries that they minister in view of the fact that there is obviously, especially the nation of Ukraine, is so much in the news. And I would assume that's the conflict between Russia and Ukraine is either the largest or obviously one of the largest military conflicts that are going on in the world right now. And it's so much in the news. And it, tragically, so many people have died in that sad war. So hope that you'll really take to heart to learn what the Lord wants to say to you through the broadcast and really pray for the ministry in those regions, those nations of our world. And Michael, I'm going to real briefly just skim through at least some of the countries that the Slavic Gospel Association ministers in on just some of the information we got. But it includes Armenia, Azerbaijan, Belarus, Estonia, Georgia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Latvia, Lithuania, Moldova, Russia, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Ukraine, and Uzbekistan. And so those are some of them, but not necessarily all of them then. So apparently you'll have quite a reach in that whole region of Europe then. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Right. And you mentioned, now tell us about you work in Israel as well. Tell our listeners about the work that the Slavic Gospel Association does in Israel.
Yeah, so let me back up for a second to talk about our underlying strategy.
Okay.
Our underlying strategy is basically we exist to do three primary things. And just let me give you a little history of the ministry. We were established in 1934 by a man named Peter Danica, and he was an immigrant from Belarus, came to this country in the early 20th century, got saved through the ministry of the Moody Church, and then the Lord began to kind of work in his heart when the persecution began to ramp up in the early 30s to establish this ministry. So our initial thrust was the covert distribution of Bibles and Christian literature into the Soviet Union. And then we also developed a Russian language Christian radio programming that was broadcast via shortwave radio in partnership with HCJB, Transworld Radio, and FEBC. So we had a large reach throughout those countries during the dark days of the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. But when the wall came down, freedom came. We had to shift our strategy, so we connected with the largest group of evangelical churches, indigenous evangelical churches in those countries, which are the Baptist churches. They were established in the early 1800s by German Mennonite missionaries who came into Ukraine and Georgia and evangelized the peasant populations, and their faith took hold, and there was a significant revival that took place in the 1800s. And then in the early 1900s, when the Soviets came to power, all those churches were persecuted. So many of the pastors were killed. Many of the Christians were persecuted. Many of the Christians ended up in gulags, and it was a very dark time there as well. So when the wall came down, you know, we connected with these churches, and we went to them and asked them what their priorities were. Their first priority was that there was no evangelical seminaries or Bible institutes or training infrastructure there to train their pastors. So they said we need help with training our pastors. And then two, we need help in sponsoring pastors and church planters that we can send into previously unreached towns and villages to preach the gospel and plant new churches. And then three, we need help with equipping our churches to meet both physical and spiritual needs of the people in throughout their cities, towns, and villages so that more might hear, more might respond, more might come to saving faith in Jesus Christ and then be discipled in strong Bible churches. So that was our task. And so we're the largest provider of sound theological training throughout all those countries that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And then we sponsor about 400 national church planting missionary families. And then we help them with their priorities in terms of how they're reaching out to people in the communities. And one of the things we're going to talk about is their ministry to orphans. Mm-hmm. But we also help them with, you know, Christian summer camps. This past summer, we sponsored 80,000 children to attend Christian summer camp. Mm-hmm. We do Bible distribution. We just do a wide variety of things, and they're very pro-life oriented. And so there's a number of pro-life ministries, and I know that's a passion that you have, but there's a number of pro-life ministry activities that we support there as well. Mm-hmm. So again, we don't send Western missionaries over there. We equip the churches, serve the churches, and equip their workers to go out, because the more resources we can provide to them, the more people they can reach throughout their nation. So we have a large reach throughout all those nations because we're connected to a group of churches. There's roughly 6,000 Baptist churches throughout those countries. So we have a large network of churches that we can serve. And you mentioned Ukraine. That's a pretty critical relationship that we have with them now, because through their network of 2,800 churches, we're one of the largest providers of humanitarian aid that's being filtered through those churches to people who are victims of the war. Mm-hmm. And right now, there is a revival taking place in Ukraine, because when the war started, a lot of the Christians left and went to Eastern Europe. A number of the pastors left and went to Eastern Europe. Mm-hmm. And so now, those churches are really flourishing and growing because of the acts of mercy of those Baptist churches who have been ministering to these people who have been impacted by the war. Mm-hmm. Everybody that receives resources or help or whatever, here's a clear presentation of the gospel. And so what we're seeing is a significant growth in the evangelical Baptist churches in Ukraine, mm-hmm. and the majority of the people in those churches are either new believers or new members. So God is working. That's a part of the story that people don't understand. God is working in Ukraine, and there's a revival taking place, and we're seeing significant church growth that we're helping through our support for them and ministering to the needs of the people affected by the war.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. That's great to hear that so much, the Lord's doing so much through the ministry of the Slavic Gospel Association. Michael, would you tell our listeners, if someone who's listening wants to learn more about the Slavic Gospel Association or get in touch, or wants to become a financial partner, as well as to learn more to be a prayer partner, tell them how they can get in touch and learn more about this ministry.
Well, there's two ways. One, you can call us. We have an 800 number. It's 1-800-BIBLE-50. That's 1-800-BIBLE-50. But then our website is sga.org, and that kind of lays out all the various ministries that we're supporting the churches and provides ways to be able to financially support them. And the other thing that is important to us is that, you know, and part of what we do is we look at, this is not only a ministry to the churches, but it's a ministry to the people who support our organization. And so we have what we call a storytelling division. So because we're connected to so many churches, because we support so many churches, we're able to get the stories of the lives that are being impacted for eternity as a result of the support of our followers. I mean, Jesus said, for in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. So we have an opportunity to enter into the labor, whether it be our ministry or our supporters or our prayer partners, to enter into the ministry of these wonderful churches who are on the ground doing the work of the gospel. And again, the more resources we can provide to them, the more people are going to hear and respond to the gospel and become members of their churches.
Mm. Well, again, that's it's just encouraging just to see how God is using the ministry to touch so many. And, you know, on the one hand, one would think that with a nation such as Ukraine being in war, that you wonder, well, how much can the church do in the midst of that? But apparently, based on what you're sharing, the church is doing tremendous things, and God is working mightily even in the midst
of... These are very courageous people, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And we have an office in Irpine, which is just outside of Kiev. Mm-hmm. And so we're able to get resources anywhere in the country right now.
Okay.
So, and again, it's because of the partnership that we have with those churches. And, you know, the pastors from all over Ukraine are constantly coming in and meeting with our staff there, being encouraged. We'll spend the night, we'll feed them, and so on and so forth. And then we'll give them, financial support as well as books and Bibles and other resources that they can take back to their regions to minister to the folks in their respective areas.
Okay. Would you take time now specifically to pray for the pastors and churches, obviously, in those nations, but also to pray for the church here, that they would really respond the way the Lord would have them to be supporting the church over there?
Sure, yeah. Heavenly Father, you said that, Jesus said, because I was persecuted, you'll be persecuted. And we are carrying out ministry and serving churches in a part of the world where the churches and the pastors and the Christians were persecuted for many, many years. And many of them died for their faith. And for that, we grieve. But many of them did survive, and they came out even stronger than ever. These are people that are brave, courageous people, and they know that when that wall came down over 30 years ago, it was a miracle from you, and they recognized it for what it was, and that was an opportunity to reach their nations for Christ. And again, we just feel so privileged to be a part of it, to be able to serve those churches, to be able to serve those believers, to be able to help equip them with resources that they need. The United States is the richest nation in the history of the world, and there's just so many wonderful Christians here who are blessed materially, who are looking for opportunities, and they recognize that what they have, they don't own. It's all owned by God, but they recognize that, and they're looking for opportunities to use what God has blessed them with to expand his kingdom. And I feel such a privilege to be able to be a part of that, to be a catalyst, to help them to understand what you're doing in those countries so that they can be a part of it as well. And as we respond to them with stories and testimonies of the people who have been impacted by their support, Lord, it's just such a blessing to me to know that we are blessing them as well so that they can see how God is using them and their resources. So, we just want to continue to pray for the churches, for the believers, for their protection, for the pastors and the workers, particularly in those countries like the Stan countries where it's still under persecution. But that the gospel will go forth and many people hear and respond and come to a saving faith in Christ and then be discipled in their churches. And I commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, Michael, share with our listeners more about specifically what you're doing to help address the orphanage crisis, what the challenges are around that, and how you're trying to help those young people as they age out of that system.
This started about 30 years ago, 25 to 30 years ago, when I was in Siberia in the region of Krasnoyarsk. And I was traveling with the brothers, the senior pastors there, and visiting their different ministry sites. So, we went to their summer camp sites. We went to their church planting sites. We attended their evangelistic events. And there's just... they're very motivated out there. And the thing about Siberia is that it's a sort of a dark and isolated place. It's vast, but it's very cold, very isolating. And so the rates of alcoholism throughout that region are quite significant. And it has just devastated the families there. And so In many cases, these kids are growing up in homes, where there's a lot of domestic violence. In mm-hmm. many cases, these kids have seen one parent kill another parent, and it's just a very tough situation. Mm-hmm. So as a result of that, the orphan population on a per capita basis has grown over the years pretty significantly because they have to take these kids out of these homes.
I'm going to jump in right here. So, Michael, we'll pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Michael Johnson. He's the president of the Slavic Gospel Association, a ministry working in many of the Slavic nations in Europe and around Ukraine. We'll be right back. Of Rebecca St. James with Kingdom Come. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest is Michael Johnson. He's the president of the Slavic Gospel Association. And Michael, one more time, will you share with our listeners the website and contact information for the Slavic Gospel Association?
Yeah, it would be sga.org. And our phone number is 1-800-BIBLE-50.
All righty. Now, you were sharing about just the work that the Slavic Gospel Association is doing to help orphans in the midst of their aging out, in particular, from that system.
Yeah, there was a study that was done that the Russian government did when the wall came down about 30 years ago that indicated that when on their 18th birthday, these orphans who grow up in these orphanages age out, most of them end up on the streets, and the girls fall into prostitution, and the boys, the men fall into some type of criminality. And they're just lost. I mean, they're literally just lost. And 97% of them at that time, and over 30 years, that number only went down to 87%. So the majority of these kids, when they age out, they're lost. So for us, I was in Siberia many years ago, and as I mentioned, we were traveling, and I noticed that the churches had an open door into these state-run orphanages to connect with and share the gospel with the kids. And my first thought was that we'd never be able to do that in this country. So we'd show up at the orphanages, and the kids were looking out the window going, "The Christians are here, the Christians are here, the Christians are here." And they're all excited, and they're giddy, And mm-hmm. so the orphanage director, they didn't welcome us in, and I would talk to them. I said, "Well, tell me about the dynamic between your relationship with the churches." And they would literally say to me, something? I don't really think I would be able to do this job apart from the work of these Christian workers that are coming in from the churches, and because of the positive impact that they have on their lives and their behavior." So we'd go in there, and we'd be, they'd be doing Bible studies with the kids and doing church services with the kids. And, so for all intents and purposes, these kids are being dropped off in these orphanages when they're 3 or 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And because of the ongoing, work of these and visits of these workers, they're growing up in a Christian environment. Mm-hmm. So I looked at it, and I asked them. I said, "Well, how can I help you do more of this?" And so I did some research, They said, well, yeah, we need help with transportation, and we need help with books and Bibles and maybe a stipend for the orphan coordinator, and we can kind of get this up and running. So I put the program together, and I came up with a number, and the number is that we can do, at the time, we could do this at a cost of roughly $30 per year per kid. Now, that number has gone up to $60 per year per kid because of inflation. Mm-hmm. But because we're investing in their work and we're not sending our workers over there, it's a highly efficient way to reach a large number of people. So this program has been expanded throughout all those countries. So, you know, we did some research and, you know, we can purchase cars for them and we can get them situation with transportation and then we get them up and running. So they're going out and visiting all these orphanages in their region and ministering to these kids. Literally, they're there, you know, 3 to 4 times a month. And so it's the consistency and the regularity that really impacts their life so that when they grow up and they age out of the orphanages on their 18th birthday, they don't end up on the, in this particular case, those that have been affected by this ministry, they don't end up on the street. They're embraced by the local churches who continue to help them through discipleship and accountability. Because most of these kids don't even know how to fill out a job application. So the churches are there to give them the kinds of life skills, both physically and spiritually, to be able to lead a life that is pleasing not to the local criminal element, but a life that is pleasing to God. And they learn how to understand what it means to live as a Christian. So we've impacted the lives of tens of thousands of young people who have graduated from orphanages as a result of this particular program and our investment in the churches who are ministering to them. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful ministry.
That's great. That's great. How would you invite listeners to pray specifically for that particular outreach within the Slavic Gospel Association's outreach ministries?
Well, widows and orphans, the Bible talks about. And I just think that, you know, God is a very special place in his heart for orphans. Mm-hmm. And so do those churches over there. Mm-hmm. And so there are many orphanages throughout those countries that are waiting for these workers to come in and minister to those children and teach them the ways of God. And so the more funds we can raise to do that, the more orphans will be reached because of the impact and the efficiencies of this particular program and our ability to, you know, to find the best workers to go in and lead these young people to Christ and then disciple them as they're growing up in the orphanage. Mm-hmm. So come to our website, sga.org, and just hit /orphans. You can understand more about how that ministry works.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you said it takes about $60 per child to be able to adequately...
Per year.
Per child per year. Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's helpful it's helpful to get that figure to shoot for then. So, okay.
Yeah, all right. because again, this is not just a one-time visit to the orphanage. This is you know, it's almost every week they're going in, and so we're providing ongoing support for the workers to continue to do that.
That's good. That's good. Well, would you share with our listeners a bit about the work that this ministry is doing in the nation of Israel?
Absolutely. Back in the late 40s, our founder, Peter Danica, the Lord drew him to Israel. And because of the fact that roughly 25-30% of the population of Israel are either Russian or Russian speakers. And many people don't know that. And so there was a large and growing network of Slavic Baptist churches in Israel right now. And so, you know, again, we have continued to track and support the work of those Slavic churches in Israel to evangelize the population of Israel. And And so somebody told me that the among the residents of Israel, that segment of the population that is the most open to the gospel are the Russians and the Russian speakers. So there is a bit of a revival taking place in Israel among those churches. And so, in response to the war, the Slavic churches, particularly in the southern part of Israel, in and around the city of Ashkelon, have had a huge impact in the lives of the particularly the immigrant population of Israel. Because when Russians come to Russian Jews come to Russian Ukrainian Jews, when they come to Israel to immigrate, they typically end up in the southern part of the country. And so, again, there's a large Slavic Baptist population down there as well. So they'll meet them as they come into the country. They'll find them a place to live. They'll provide food for them. They'll help them to get settled into the country. And so, when the recent conflict broke out down there related to Gaza, a lot of these immigrants were stuck in their apartments. They hadn't yet found a job. They hadn't really, been fully situated there. Mm-hmm. So the Russian and the Slavic churches came in and just would knock on their doors, So, and they'd open up the door and they said, first of all, they knew where they all lived because they helped them get situated, but there were thousands of people who were just isolated. Mm-hmm. And so they knock on the doors and they, provide food for them. They'd pray with them, they would befriend them. Mm-hmm. And in many cases, they would invite them to church and they would come to the church. And because, again, the acts of mercy, many of these people have come to faith in Christ and are regularly attending those churches in mm-hmm. Israel. Mm-hmm. So there is a movement of the Spirit taking place in Israel through those Slavic churches into the lives of Russian and Ukrainian immigrants that are moving to Israel.
Mm-hmm. Michael, our time is just about gone here. But that's powerful to see that the Slavic Gospel Association has such a reach in a huge part of Europe, but also in the nation of Israel as well. And so would you take the next...
It is amazing.
Would you take another 30 seconds, or again, our time is about gone, just to pray for the church to respond, to be supportive of the work of the Slavic Gospel Association on an ongoing basis as you do what you do?
Yeah. Absolutely. Again, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be together today. Thank you for the opportunity that you provide through this program to reach their listening audience so that we can share what God is doing as he builds his church throughout such a vast ministry field in the former Soviet Union as well as in Israel. And we want to continue to pray for Israel for its protection. But we want to continue to pray for the church in Israel so that more of their citizens might hear and come to faith in Christ and be discipled in these churches. We thank you, Lord, for the open door there and for what you're doing there. And so, again, work in the hearts of the folks that have heard this message. And if you move in their hearts and their minds and in their spirit to want to be a part of this, we pray, Lord, that they can just connect with us through our website and through our telephone number, 1-800-BIBLE-50 or SGA.org. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share the work of the churches and the lives of these many orphans who are growing up in these lonely facilities. And we want to pray for them and the workers as well. And so I commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Michael, so much for being with us, and thank you for the great work that you all continue to do.
Well, thank you very much.
All righty. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and committed your heart to Christ, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step and fully commit or recommit your heart to the Lord, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us and commit your life to the Lord right now? Lord Jesus, Thank you for loving us so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess. Lord, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every single day. Help me to pray and seek you in prayer every day. Help me to obey you and follow you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting very much to connect and be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch with us. We would definitely like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please do be sure and be in touch. We hope to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Please pray much for the work of Michael Johnson, the president of Slavic Gospel Association, and the work and the mission and ministry of the Slavic Gospel Association. They definitely can use your prayers and your finances and your support. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.